welcome to Stories to Dismember. You're hanging out with me, your host, Aaron, and I am here with my two co-hosts, Ariel and Azriel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
I gotta do my deep, raspy voice for this movie.
That was good.
I thought I was talking to Batman. And this week, believe it or not, I am going to be covering our movie and guiding us through it. And if you're listening to the last episode, you will know that we are doing the 1994 movie, The Crow, with Brandon Lee as The Crow. Although in the movie, his name is Eric Draven. I want to call him the Raven. He does say a Raven quote in the movie, if you notice that. We also he quotes the Raven in the movie.
Oh, he does. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were mentioning That's So Raven. That's what he was quoting.
That's so
Raven. I was like, I'm sure that came out after.
After.
Right?
Yeah. Premonition.
I mean, he can't see the future, but he can see the past, right?
No, he can see the past, right?
Right, but in That's So Raven, she can see the future. That's like her power. But he has the power to see the past. So
that's, I never seen that show.
So right. He's not so Raven.
I didn't know she had a power.
That was the whole premise. It's the future I can't see.
Oh, if I'd have known that, I might have watched it. Yeah. Okay. So yes, The Crow 1994, starring Brandon Lee as Eric Draven. We also have Michael Wincott as Top Dollar. It's a great name. Rochelle Davis as Sarah. Ernie Hudson as Albright. I love Ernie Hudson. Bao Ling as Micah. And we have little parts by a bunch of different actors. I guess mainly the bad guys. We got T-Bird, who was David Patrick Kelly. He was from The Warriors. You know, Warriors, come out and play. Remember that part?
Oh, yeah. How can you not? That's like the most quotable moment.
Right. And Lawrence Mason, who played Tintin. And Angel David played Skank. And Michael Massey, who was Fun Boy, and unfortunately was the one who, if you did not know, shot the gun that killed Brandon Lee during the filming of the movie.
Oh, I didn't know it was that actor.
Yeah.
Wait, you skipped over somebody, like kind of famous.
Yeah.
Tony Todd?
You didn't give me a chance. So you started talking before I was done.
Well, you just led into the whole thing about him dying, so I figured you were done.
No, not yet. Yes. Candyman, Tony Todd. He played Grange, actually. And I guess last but not least, because I like him, at least how he acted in this movie, John Politto as Gideon. He did a good job in this movie.
The actor that plays Top Dollar, right, his name's Top Dollar.
Yeah.
The voice sounded super familiar because he has a very, I guess, deep and unforgettable voice. And I just had a feeling like I've heard of him recently, and I looked it up. He was in Nope. He played the director, the cinematographer in Nope.
Oh,
and
really?
Then I was like, oh, now I see it. Yeah, and the voice totally. Because I remember in Nope, that guy had such a good voice, like very like voice acting style, you know, like narrating style voice. So he played like the hoity-toity director that was trying to, you know, like, I guess, capture prey and predators and all that stuff. So,
yeah, that was Michael Wincott, the bad guy, the main bad guy. Nothing happens in this town without a say-so bad guy. All right. I think most everybody has seen this movie. It is a little departure from the normal straightforward horror type movies we have been doing, which is kind of fun to veer off every now and then and do just something that I think is a really good movie. You may not agree, but I'll fight you about that. And another thing I'll fight you about is this does have one of the best soundtracks ever, because I think there might be another movie better, but we'll talk about that later. All right. If you guys are ready, we'll jump in.
Ready.
Opening scene, The Crow. We jump in. It's October 30th, Devil's Night. And we have a fly-through scene of a city that's on fire. Fly through the city, we come up on a crime scene. It looks like somebody was thrown out of a window. We see who we learn is Albright staring through the window. looking down at the body, smoking a cigarette. And we had an opening monologue by our narrator, who we find out is going to be Sarah. And she says, people once believed that when someone dies, a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead. But sometimes something so bad happens that a terrible sadness is carried with it and the soul can't rest. Then sometimes, just sometimes, the crow can bring that soul back to put the wrong things right. We find out in the crime scene that a bunch of thugs that come in and they're investigating the scene. A guy got thrown out of the window and a lady that we find out is Shelly, is being treated and taken to the hospital. And we learn that the cops are talking about Devil's Night. And one of the cops says 143 fires were happening that night. And another cop says, not as many as last year. It must be slow starters. The cop is telling Sarah, who's the little girl who shows up at the scene, and he thinks that Sarah is the woman victim's sister, and she's not. She's just a friend. We learned the woman is named Shelly, and Shelly tells the cop to tell Eric that he needs to take care of Sarah, and Sarah's worried about Shelly and Eric, and she knows the cop's lying when he says, you know, everything's going to be okay. And then we cut to 1 year later, and we see Sarah visiting the graves of, as we see now, Shelly Webster and Eric Draven, who were the two victims of the Devil's Night tragedy a year ago. And as she's at the grave site, we see a crow land on Eric's tombstone, and he starts pecking on the tombstone, pretty much. And we have another scene. We cut to the scene of, we see thugs that are tearing up an arcade and setting a bomb. And as they leave the arcade, you know, it blows up behind them. And as that happens, we're also seeing back at the gravesite, we see the mud start to move and we see Eric rise from the dead, from the mud. And as he comes back to life, I guess you could say, the crow guides him through the streets and he's picking up, you know, pants and boots and, you know, all his gear. He needs like kind of like a video game. When you first come alive, you get all your cool stuff to get going.
And yeah, this movie does feel like a video game to me.
Yeah, it does.
Because he's kind of walking around and picking up items as he's going, and he's like, oh, shoes. And the bird's like, just like, here.
Yeah, over and here.
I'm surprised there wasn't like a little shiny thing in the corner to like tell him that it was over there with the bird. You know, like you just see a sparkle and you're like, oh, something's over there. And the bird's like, caw!
Over here, boo.
It just seemed like we were waiting for him to get his quest, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a life bar at the bottom.
Well, his would always be empty, though, right?
So the crow, you know, guides him to the street and he makes it back to his own apartment. And I think there's a cool scene, too. We see the thugs from earlier driving by a hot dog shop, and we see Officer Albright talking to Sarah, and he's buying her a hot dog with no onions, you know, because onions make you fart big time. But when the thugs are driving by, you hear a great song by Stone Temple Pilots, Big Empty. Did you catch that one?
Yes, I caught all of the songs in this movie. Up in my childhood.
I was trying to catch most of them. I was like, I'm going to miss them.
I remember all of them. This soundtrack was the soundtrack of my childhood.
There you go. So Eric makes it back to his apartment, and he finds his cat, Gabriel, waiting on him. Good cat. And as he gets back to the apartment, he kind of relives things that happened that night. And we see flashes, really quick flashes of what happened in the apartment. And as Eric's going through that, he runs towards the open window that he got thrown through. And he jumps, and as he jumps, he catches himself on the frame of the window and cuts his hands. And this is when we find out that his wounds will heal themselves, because they show a shot of his hands magically healing, I guess you can say. And as he's reliving those scenes, there's a lot of quotes in this movie, you know, trying to write some of them down or one-liners, I guess you can say. And as he's reliving the scenes from that night, we see the head thug, who we learn is T-Bird. He has a book that Shelley was reading, and in the book he has a quote, says, "Abashed, the devil stood and felt how awful goodness is." And they continue to wreak havoc on the toot and the couple, and then stab Eric, and they shoot him in the back before they throw him out of the window. And so then we cut to the thugs at the pit, the bar to hang out, the peach pit, not the pit. And they got their special ritual where they swallow a bullet and then take a shot. I wonder how many times you can do that before you're just full of bullets.
Yeah, I think that would be uncomfortable even if you healed, right?
Yeah, after a while.
They just got lodged in you.
Can you, you know, poop out
a bullet?
You definitely
wouldn't pass a metal detector.
Yeah.
Looks like you get a lot of brass and lead in.
Right, he's like, I think I just gained 10 pounds.
And we learned that they're toasting Devil's Night, and they do their little cheer because, you know, when you're in a bunch of thugs, you have your little cheers like your cheerleaders. So they do Fire It Up. So they yell Fire It Up a few times. And we're back at the apartment. We see like another flash of collage of scenes of how much Eric and Shelley loved each other and pretty much how they were going to get married on Halloween. And even one of the cops before said, you know, who gets married on Halloween? And they said, apparently nobody. And we see Eric's transformation into the crow. And as he's transforming, we hear the song by, got a guess? Anybody want to guess?
Nine Inch Nails?
No, close. We're getting to Nine Inch Nails. The Cure. We hear Burn by The Cure.
Oh, Burn. That's right. Yeah.
So Eric transforms into the crow. And then we cut to the scene of Tintin selling a bunch of what looks like stolen jewelry at pawn shop, at Gideon's pawn shop. And he's not too happy with Gideon or how much money he gets. And we switch back to a scene of Eric, who's learning his powers now. You know how when you get it, like we were saying, playing a video game, you're learning your character, see what he can do. He's like jumping across buildings and running really fast and just figuring out everything he can do. And as he's doing that, this is where we hear the Nine Inch Nails cover of Joy Division song, Dead Souls. So already we got three really cool songs in this movie. We see the crow, and the crow's kind of like, what would you call it? His guide, spirit animal?
Yeah, because the quote that the little girl was saying, Sarah, he has to like right the wrongs before his soul can get carried.
Right.
So I guess the bird's just like, yo, we got to get this shit on the road. Otherwise, I'm going to have to follow you around forever. And I want to go back to my murder squad. So right. I think the bird's just kind of helping him along. So I guess it is like a guide, but the bird helps him a lot because he actually can see through the bird's eyes. So you do get like the bird helping him kind of, you know, project like his vision, I guess. I don't quite know. And he kind of like turns into the bird a couple times. So
yep,
his familiar, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. And so, yeah. So the next scene shows the crow finding Tintin, and Eric kind of gets the crow signal, so the bat signal, and he can see Tintin walking down an alley through the crow's eyes. It's kind of distorted the way they show the crow's vision. So you can kind of differ between the crow's eyes and Eric's eyes. Eric finds Tintin, attacks him. They fight. And as he gets the better of Tintin, he calls him a murderer. And as he's talking to him, Tintin kind of gets the drop on Eric and it tells him, you know, I'm not a murderer, but you're going to learn about murder tonight. It's easy, it's fun, and you're going to learn all about it. And Tintin says he has two friends and he starts slinging knives at Eric. Eric's knocking him away, and finally he catches one, and he pins, throws it back at Tintin and pins him against like a bunch of wooden crates. And he pulls out a knife from Tintin, and he looks at Tintin and he goes, victims aren't we all? And then we cut to, there's another one-liner, we cut to bar scene, and at the bar, this is a really cool bar. It reminds me of some of the bars I went to when I was that age, the mid-90s. But in the background, we hear Time Baby 3 playing by Medicine. And we stop and see a band photo of Hangman's Joke, which was Eric's band. And I kind of paused it to look at the band member names. I'm sure you can find it somewhere else. But it was Mo Debius, Gunnar Lance, Eric Draven, Tex Fowler, and Brian Harden. I don't know if those have any specific meanings. Does anybody know?
I got nothing.
No, it's not ringing a bell to me.
I didn't even catch that, to be honest. I just knew he was in a band. That's all I knew. I'm sure there's something to it, right? Because...
Yeah.
And you said that it was called The Hangman's Joke?
Yeah, that's our Hangman's Joke was the name of their band. We'll have to look that up. Maybe one of the listeners out there, maybe one of you guys know, can let us know.
Yeah, if you guys know, or if you've done a deep dive to save us the trouble, that would be great.
I kind of wanted to, but, you know.
Yeah, it is. Maybe it's an Easter egg. Oh, Easter egg.
I just like the name Mo Debius. Yeah, Mo Debius.
Yeah, I kind of like Eric Draven. That's pretty, like, rock and roll, hardcore.
Definitely. So.
Mo Devious sounds like a rapper, like a part of
yeah.
the like, Del and the Funky Homo Sapiens kind of thing. Mo Devious.
As I had a pause, they had other pictures up there, too. I was looking at Immature, My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, Helmet. Yeah, I saw one other, but I can't remember what it was. It's kind of cool seeing those up there. So inside the club, T-Bird goes upstairs, you know, to see the boss, which is, as we know, is Top Dollar. And when he gets to the, you know, top of the stairs, upstairs, that's where his boss is, we get to meet Candyman, Tony Todd, who's kind of like guarding the door, I guess you say. But yeah, his name is Grange in the movie. And inside, we see Top Dollar sitting on a bed with a naked woman laying behind him. And we see another woman taking a shower. And we find out the woman taking a shower is his sister, Micah. And we also learn she has a thing for eyes. And she asks about the girl, the naked woman laying on the bed. He goes, Top Dollar's like, who, her? I think we broke her. And they kind of roll her over and she's dead. So no telling what they did to her. We switch back to, there's a few scenes. Main scene is Eric is back at the pawn shop from earlier, Gideon's pawn shop. He's looking for an engagement ring. And he tells the pawn shop owner that 1010 confided in him, you know, before he ran out of breath. And then we cut back to a scene of the coroner's hauling off 1010. And he's got about 10 knives sticking out of his chest. And we see Officer Albright again. He's talking to a detective. And him and the detective have a little thing throughout the movie where they give each other shit. I don't think the detective likes Albright much, but Albright tells the detective, you know, I think you can rule out accidental death. They would switch to a scene. They show the wall. There's a blood outline of a crow. And the detective goes, what are you going to call that? And Albright says, I call that blood, but you probably call it graffiti. So back at the pawn shop, Eric Draven's looking for his engagement ring. And for some reason, I don't know why, this pawn shop just had gallon gas cans just all over the damn thing. Did you notice that? Just sitting
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe he's I know just why. An entrepreneur looking for, you know, opportunities, and he got a really good deal on a bunch of gallons of gasoline, you know? I mean, it was the 90s, and there was a point where gasoline did skyrocket in price, you know? During COVID, people were buying gasoline. He was ahead of his time.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, we need a guess, I guess, here in a second. So we're back at the pit. We learned that Fun Boy lives upstairs. And Gideon tells Eric that Fun Boy lives upstairs because Eric's looking for all the other guys. What do they call them? Partner pals or something like that. And Eric tells, you know, Gideon he's going to let him live so he can tell the others that death is coming for them tonight. And that Eric Draven sends his regards, and then he steals the guitar as he's walking out. He turns around and goes, is that gas I smell? Because we saw the gallons of gas tins fall over as he was in the pawn shop. And we cut back to the pit, and on the jukebox, Color Me Once is playing by the Violent Femmes. So I told you this movie had a lot of good music. And then I think that scene was just for that song, I guess, because then we cut back to the pawn shop and Eric turned around and shot a shotgun that he had, I guess he stole from the pawn shop, I think, maybe, and blew it up. And we could hear the cops come in, and the first cop that shows up is Albright. And he talks to Eric for a little bit, and Eric asks her if he remembers him, and he's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, do you remember Shelley Webster? And he's like, yeah, she died like a year ago. So Eric's talking to Albright, and he's like, do you recognize my jacket? And Albright asks him about 1010, and Eric just says, yeah, he shouldn't have played with knives, because, you know, 1010 was stabbed, a bunch of knives in the chest. And then we switch to, well, we see people looting the pawn shop as well after it got blown up, of course. And we switch to Top Dollar in Micah, and she's burning an eyeball, and she poured some powder in there as well. And then,
oh yeah, it was an eyeball.
Yeah, it was an eyeball. She's dicked the eyeballs for some reason. And this is when T-Bird finally gets in, and he tells him that Gideon's is burning down. And Top Dollar is like, well, nobody's told me why yet. Just, you know, it's my need to know. And he tells him to go figure out why Gideon's was burning down as he's snorting coke and doing all that good bad guy stuff. And then we switch to Sarah almost being hit by a cab, but she gets saved by Eric. And she said she could have made it because, you know, she's a really good skater. She can do it. And as she's talking to Eric, he kind of turns away so she can't see him. And she asks him if he's a clown or something. And as she's leaving, she said, you know, she wishes the rain would stop just for, you know, one day. And Eric goes, it can't rain all the time. And she kind of recognizes the phrase. And we have a small scene of Albright back at the station doing some investigative work, because we do learn that he is a former detective and he lost his gold shield for investigating too much, I guess. And he's looking into a double homicide that happened last year. And he has a photo of Hangman's Joke, and he's drawing like Eric's clown face. Is that what you call it, a clown face? Onto the photo. His black eyes and his streaks around his mouth and his eyeballs. Then we jump to another song. This one is Golgotha Tenement Blues by Machines of Love and Grace, which is a very good song for this scene. Even though this scene is, if you know what happened to Brandon Lee, like we were talking about earlier, this is the scene where the accident does take place. But in the movie, during this scene, we see Fun Boy and Darla at his apartment getting high on what we learn is morphine. And Eric, well, LaCroix shows up first, of course. LaCroix's always a step ahead. And Eric shows up, and he kind of scares the shit out of Fun Boy. And he does this little run towards him. And he's like, you know, don't be doing that shit, man. Because he's, you know, high as fuck right now. And so Fun Boy's telling Eric to get out. And Eric's asking him a bunch of questions. And he tells maybe an off-color joke that I'm not going to tell today because it is a special day for some people. Fun Boy pulls out his gun. Eric sticks his hand to the barrel. And Fun Boy pulls the trigger, jumping up saying he shoots, he scores. And Eric starts screaming. And he's like play screaming because he shows Fun Boy's hand and it heals itself just like he did earlier. And then Fun Boy kind of unloads the gun into Eric and saying, why the fuck won't you die? And then Eric takes his gun and shoots Fun Boy in the leg, and he kind of passes out. And as he's passing out, he's on his bed, and he's like, you're messing up my sheets. And Darla runs and hides in the bathroom, and Eric drags Fun Boy into the bathroom and throws him in the tub, turns on the water, and he grabs Darla and tells her, you know, she needs to stop doing the morphine. And he has a good saying. Darla to take a good look in the mirror, and he tells her, mother is a name for God on the lips of hearts of all children. And as he's telling her this, he has a hold of her arm, and the morphine just starts to draw out of her shots, injection spots. What do you call those things? Tracks?
Yeah, track marks, I guess.
Track marks, yeah. Downstairs, we see Grange and Gideon, who's drinking Crown Royal, shout out. trying to calm his nerves, I guess, because his pawn shop got blown up. Yeah, we see Darla leaving, and she just kind of runs out of the bar, the pit, because that's, you know, Fun Boy lives on a, you know, apartment on top of the pit, and everybody's kind of whistling and laughing at her. And so this alarms Grange, who starts to go upstairs. And as he's going upstairs, we see Eric grab the syringe full of morphine, and he's starting to inject it into Fun Boy. And Fun Boy kind of has another funny line here. He tells Eric, "You're wasting it." And as Grange makes it upstairs to Fun Boy's apartment, he sees Fun Boy laying there with a bunch of syringes sticking out of his chest. And we see the crow symbol again outlined on his chest, and the syringes are kind of like in the middle. And as he sees that, he sees Eric at the window, and Eric kind of winks at him and jumps out, flies away, I guess. Next, we see Albright at his apartment, and he's got on an undershirt and underwear, and for some reason, he has his police hat still on. And Eric shows up and scares Albright, because he just comes through the window, and Eric even asks him, he's like, "Why do you still have your hat on?" So he takes it off, and they kind of discuss, you know, what happened. And Albright says, you know, he just couldn't get anybody to talk to him about what happened, you know, that night during the building. Nobody wanted to talk. So that's why we kind of learned later, it's why he kind of got demoted as well. You'll see he dug too deep into it. And we cut back to Gideon. And he's talking to Top Dollar and Grange, you know, about what happened at his pawn shop. And we can see that pretty much Top Dollar doesn't really give a shit about Gideon. And he pulls out a sword. And Gideon's like, you know, all these people are crazy. And what does Top Dollar say? "Oh, fuck it." And he just rams the sword right through his throat. And as Gideon's sitting there choking on the sword or the blood, he's like, aren't you dead or whatever? And he gets Grange's gun and shoots him a few times in the chest. So Gideon's done for. Then we see Sarah back at her apartment. And after she talked to, you know, the guy she met earlier, saved her life, she's looking through her collection of albums, and she finds Hangman's Joke. It's hard to say. She finds Hangman's Jokes album. There you go. And she starts to play the music, and she sees the crow at the window, and the crow likes to visit her, and you can tell she likes that. But as the crow shows up, not Eric Draven, but the crow, the album gets stuck on repeat playing Can't Rain All the Time. Can't Rain All the Time. Just keep skipping to that. And she turns around, and like she recognized it. She knew it was Eric. We jump back to the crow and see he's flying through the air, and he finds somebody else. And he finds T-Bird and Skank. They do their little fired up chant. And T-Bird tells him, you know, to get some smokes and some road beers from the convenience store. And T-Bird gets in his car. And Eric pulls a gun on and gets a drop on it and tells him to drive. And as they're driving, his buddy Skank's like, "What the hell? Why is he leaving?" And he runs out. And as he's running out, he gets hit by a car. I don't know about y'all, but I always crack up this scene because he's driving like a little Yugo or something like that. You remember those little cars?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. It was cute.
And this thing's all clapped out. And so he's trying to keep up with T-Bird. And we see scenes of T-Bird and Eric talking about what happened. Yeah. Oh, I still thought it was funny too, because when Skank ran out and got hit by the car, the guy from the car jumped down and said, "Hey, man, you hit my car."
I thought that guy was going to beat the shit out of him. I was like, wow, that is not the reaction I was expecting from this guy. Not like, "Are you okay?" He looked like he was about to beat him dead.
He was a big
I think
guy
this
too.
Is funny, though, because that guy is large, and Skank just like knocks him out with one hit.
Yeah, that was funny. So then Skank's like driving through the city, trying to find his buddy, and the cops are chasing T-Bird. And T-Bird, you know, trying to be all cool, saying, you know, "This is just business. You know, we can work something out. You know, you got skills or whatever." And as Skank's cutting through alleys and he hits a dead end, he's like, "Dead end, goddamn it!" And he turns around. He has to go back another way. He almost gets hit by a big truck. And he finally does get hit by the cops as he comes flying out of like an alleyway. and he gets thrown out of the car. And then we switch to a scene where Eric has stopped the car like on a pier, and he's duct taping T-Bird to his seat, and he's getting it set up to, like, you know, he's going to set up the car to drive off the pier. And as he's setting it up, he throws, like, I guess a grenade, something like that. It's like a canister or something.
Yeah, it was like a flash grenade or maybe a real grenade. It looked like a real grenade, to be honest.
Yeah. And T-Bird finally realizes who Eric is, and he's like, you know, this is the really real world. There ain't no coming back. And he just keeps saying that. And then Eric starts the car and sends him down the pier, and we hear T-Bird say again that phrase he said earlier, the quote, abashed, the devil stood and felt how awful goodness is. And the T-Bird flies off the pier and blows up. And as it blows up, you see Eric walking away, and he had lighter fluid, and he throws a match, I guess, match or lighter. And the lighter fluid lights up, and it's a symbol of a crow.
I got to say, as far as effects go for this movie, like the blowing up effects, absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Like everything is just satisfying, I guess. It's like a very big explosion. And then I think that even Albright makes a joke later where somebody's like walking away and he's like, what are there going to be explosions in the background or something? I love his attitude throughout this whole film. And he was in Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
Like in all of them. Yeah. Yeah. I love him so much.
Yeah. And then the next morning we see Grange, who's probably the smartest guy in the whole movie. He's at the graveyard, checking on Eric Draven's grave, which is just an open pit now because, you know, he's not there. And we see a scene of Darla trying to be a good mom to Sarah, cooking her breakfast. When she say, what kind of eggs do you like? And she's like, eggs. I haven't liked eggs since I was 5. And she goes, what do you like now? Coffee and cigarettes? Something like that?
Yeah, black coffee and cigarettes.
Yeah, black coffee and cigarettes.
It was too weird for her, she said, I think.
So they kind of make up a little bit, and Sarah asks for eggs over easy and actually calls her mom, because before that she just called her Darla for the whole movie. We see Sarah go back to Eric and Shelley's old apartment. And she kind of breaks into the building and goes upstairs. She goes inside the apartment and she's yelling for Eric because she knows he's there, you know, because he was in the apartment like right before she walked in, like burning pictures in the fireplace. And he comes out and tells her, you know, because she misses him and all that. And he comes out and talks to her, and they hug, and they have a touching little scene. And they really don't go too deep in what's going on, but pretty much, I guess he just tells her he's not going to be there. We learn later, you know, he kind of tells her they can't be friends because, you know, she's alive or something like that. And then we switch back to Top Dollar's lair, hideout, what you want to call it. And Skank is telling him all about what happened to T-Bird, and he's freaking out and talking really fast, saying like he's next, and he's like saying fired up, and he's down in whiskey and saying this one's for you, T-Bird, and all that. And Top Dollar's just sitting there, and he looks at Grange. He goes, we need to video this and like play it back in slow motion. That cracked me up. I don't know why. This is funny. And then we cut back to you, Maxi Dogs, which is where Albright and Sarah like to hang out and get free hot dogs, pretty much. And she's sitting there, and Albright shows up. And I guess, I don't know why, he had on his cop uniform, but he had no insignias at all. Do you notice that? I guess because he got suspended or whatever. But I was like,
yeah, there was like some tension between him and the detective, and I think maybe he got demoted at some point or something. Yeah. He also likes to wear his hat in his underwear. So, I mean, maybe he's just a weird guy that doesn't put on the badges.
I kind of thought it was like, doesn't he have any other clothes? And he's, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, because he has no shoulder patches or anything.
Yeah.
I could see taking the shield, but what, do they rip the patches off his shirt? Or is those the only
like
shirts
in movies
he wears?
Where they're like, you've been demoted. They like rip the patch off. You just see like the seams of where it used to be.
Loose the thread. Outlet. Yeah. See a little hole where they pulled off the badge.
I mean, his character kind of seems like the guy that actually does the work, you know, and like actually cares to a degree. And so that probably got him in trouble at some point.
Yeah, he's an overachiever.
He just, Yeah, or he was just asking too many questions, you know, how like some people in your, if you're in a corrupt kind of precinct, asking too many questions is a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. All right. So then we get a cool scene here of Eric on top of the building playing a guitar solo, and he starts to smash the guitar, and the solo, the music solo, kind of drifts into another song. Does anybody know what song this is?
No.
Okay. This one is After the Flesh by My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult. And we see them playing at the bar that Top Dollar owns, I guess you can say. Did they ever give a name to the bar? I mean, I've seen this movie 100 times, but I never paid attention. The club, I guess. Because we know the bar is the pit, but I don't know what the club is.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a sign.
We'll have to investigate that. So at Top Dollar's lair, it's Devil's Night. And we see like every bad guy in the city in his conference room, you know, loading guns and counting cash. And I mean, they got everybody. They got, you know, street criminals up to some guy was in a suit, white collar, and some stock market white collar guy in there as well. And Top Dollar goes on, thinking, you know, tells him, you know, a guy has an idea. And the idea turns into a institution. And then it just becomes shit. And, you know, everybody's imitating what they do. They even have, Devil's Night t-shirts or something like that. And so all the guys are like, are we going to stop? He goes, no, we're going to do some shit so that the gods will notice us again type stuff. And he's trying to get his guys motivated. And as he's talking, oh, do you have something to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say he'd mentioned greeting cards, I think.
Oh, Devil's Night greeting card. Yeah, greeting cards. Yeah. And so he's upset about this. He wants to do something big next year to get it all back. And as he's talking, the crow shows up. Not Eric, but the crow. And he's like, yeah, where'd that come from? And then immediately after crow, who do we always see? We see Eric. And of course, Eric's there for Skank, and Top Dollar's like, well, you can't have him. And as they're talking, he tells him, I'm getting tired of this shit already, just kill him. So everybody in the place whips out their guns and machine guns, and they start shooting Eric, and somehow he ends up with a couple of guns, and he's shooting back, and they're shooting him, and he's shooting them, and Skank's kind of hide, and he's trying to hide behind women or wherever he can do underneath the table, and he's trying to get away. And Eric's going around killing everybody. And I don't see how Top Dollar and Grange escaped, but they did somehow. And once everybody's dead, Eric finds Skank under the table, and he's talking to Skank. He calls him Skank, and he goes, I'm not Skank. He goes, Skank's dead. Skank's over there. Eric takes Skank and tosses him out a window, like the top floor of the building. And we see him laying on top of a police car. And then Eric jumps out of the building and he's running away, and the cops are chasing him. And Eric's on top of buildings, you know, doing that thing, running from top buildings, flying to the next building. And there's a helicopter following him, police helicopter. And Albright showed up, and Albright's smoking a cigarette and driving around, watching him jump between buildings, kind of chasing him. And then Eric finally gets down. Albright helps him escape. Albright has a funny line here. He's like, what do they say? There's so many cops here. You think they're giving away donuts?
Yeah.
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 Also, when he was jumping on like over the buildings and from building to building, the whole time I was like, parkour. Parkour. And then this is when I turned to my husband, who was like kind of watching this movie. And I was like, oh, by the way, he's Bruce Lee's son. And then he like looked up. He's like, what? He's like, he looks nothing like Bruce Lee. I was like, well, yeah, because he got a bunch of makeup on.
Right. So Albright helps him escape. And he kind of has to slam on his brakes to avoid a wreck. And as he does, Eric jumps out of the car and disappears again. So Albright's left alone. And we switch to a scene of Top Dollar and his sister in Grange driving away or whatever they're doing. And she's telling him that the crow is his power And to kill him, you need to kill the crow. And once you kill the crow, you know, you'll be able to destroy Eric. And then we have a nice little scene of Eric seeing a bunch of kids out dressed up for Halloween, having fun. So, and Eric's like, that's pretty much over. So I'm heading back to the grave so I can be with Shelley. And as he gets back to the cemetery, he sees Sarah asleep next to his grave. And he tells her, you know, he has to go. But, you know, he gives Sarah the necklace, or not the necklace, but the ring, the engagement ring that he gave Shelley, so they can, so she can remember Shelley. And she says she's never going to take it off. And they say their goodbyes. And as she goes to leave, of course, Grange kidnaps her. And they're next to a church, so he takes her into the church. And Eric can hear her screaming for help. So he runs towards the church. And as the crow flies in and Eric comes in, Grange shoots the crow. Doesn't kill it. It just shoots it. And then Todd Ballard pops out and he goes, you know, Bird gets shot. Bird goes dead or something like that. And then Top Dollar shoots Eric and Eric feels it. And he kind of sees the crow struggling too, because the crow's on the ground crowing, doing that crow sound like Ariel did earlier.
Actually, you know what? I just realized it's not a familiar. It's not a guide. It's his Horcrux. Okay. We're getting all Harry Potter up in this bitch. Okay. You kill the crow and now he has a weakness. Okay.
My weakness.
And might I say, he is a Slytherin.
Is that from Harry Potter?
It is also. It's a house of, in Harry Potter.
Ah, okay. Okay. Makes sense. And then after Top Dollar shoots Eric, he goes, you know, for a ghost, you know, you bleed just fine. So he doesn't blame that Eric called, or yeah, Eric had all these superpowers. And as they're about to fight, Albright shows up. Now, this is funny as shit, because he shows up with a flare gun and shoots it at Grange and misses him. So he's there with a flare gun and his pistol trying to fight these two other guys. But he does help Eric kind of escape for a minute. And they come up with a plan. And Albright's like, yeah, you just stand in front of me and let them shoot you. And once they run out of bullets, you know, I can arrest them. And Eric's like, you know, that's a great plan, but, you know, I'm not invincible anymore. Top Dollar and Micah are heading up to the church steeple, bell tower, I guess you would call it. So Albright and Eric are chasing them upstairs, and Albright gets shot, and Eric's like, you know, I thought you were going to stay behind me. And Albright's like, yeah, I think I messed up. So they reach the, as Eric's climbed to the top, Micah has the crow, and as she's holding the bird, the crow picks out her eyeballs and pretty much knocks her away, and she falls, like, well, she kind of holds on for a minute to the rope and then falls to her death. So the crow gets some revenge on the
girl.
Doesn't
she ring the bell at the same time?
She might have. I'm not sure.
I think she does, because she's pulling on the rope to the bell.
Yeah.
In the tower.
I think so, yeah.
Did you ever mention that she's a sister to Top Dollar? Like, her and Top Dollar are brother and sister? Okay.
Yeah.
Step? Right? Step brother?
Same daddy.
Yeah, dad. What's them questioned it from the pawn shop.
Yeah. Gideon's like, your sister. And he's like, same dad.
Right.
Don't you see the resemblance?
The resemblance, yeah.
I wish I could have to do his voice. Same dad. Don't you see the resemblance? Something like that. And now we have, just like our video game, we have the boss fight. We get to the roof of the church. Top Dollar has Sarah, and he kind of throws her off the roof, but she kind of makes it halfway down and falls in a hole. She's holding on. So we have Eric with a piece of iron, like a cross from the steeple, and he's fighting Top Dollar, who has a sword. And so they have a little sword fight at the top, and then they wrestle around, and they're sliding around on top of the building. And Top Dollar kind of has the edge on Eric and gets on top of him. He kind of stabs him in the back, I think, and gets on top of him. And, of course, you know, he's a bad guy, so he's got a little monologue to say. And he tells Eric pretty much, you know, that little apartment thing was, you know, my call. Nothing happens in this town unless I say so. You know, so I'm actually the bad guy who did this all. you know, taking all the credit. And as he's talking, Eric grabs him by the face. Well, actually, he tells him, I have something for you. I have something to give you. I don't want any more. And he grabs Top Dollar by the face. And he tells him 30 hours of pain, because that's how long Shelly was in the hospital before she died, how long she fought. 30 hours of pain all at once, all for you. And of course, Top Dollar dies.
Yeah, I didn't even know this was a power he had. Did he?
No.
He can transfer pain, like mental anguish. Because he took it from the sergeant, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's sergeant, captain, whatever.
Albright.
He took it from that guy, and then he transferred it to Top Dollar. But I didn't even know he could do that. I thought he was just getting memories.
Yeah. Yeah, because in a little bit, he thanks Albright for giving him that.
Storing that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For keeping that. Yeah. And like staying with her so that he could experience that. I wonder too, then, if he can transfer the pain, did he take it from Albright? Like, did he set him free from that?
That's a good question. He might have. So then Eric saves Sarah, you know, because she's hanging off inside of a hole on the roof. And they make it back down to Albright, who, you know, wants a cigarette. So they give him one, and he doesn't like it. And as he's throwing away his cigarette, he tells him, you know, I've been meaning to come to church anyways. And Eric disappears. And Albright says he does that a lot. And as they're walking outside, or actually Albright's being carried outside by the EMTs, first responders, it stopped raining. Sarah says it can't rain all the time. And then we're back at Shelley's grave, and Eric's kind of laying up against her gravestone, and he can see Shelley all dressed in white coming towards him, and they kiss, and the crow returns Shelley's ring back to Sarah, and that's the end of the movie. And we have one last monologue by Sarah. She says, if the people we love are stolen from us, the way to have them live on is to never stop loving them. Buildings burn, people die, but real love is forever. And then we fade to black, and it says for Brandon and Eliza. And that's the end of the movie. The Crow, 1994. All right. So what'd you guys think? Who wants to go first?
I can go first. Oh, you want to go, Azrael?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you go first. You go first.
Okay.
All right. Okay. This is the point of the show where we do give our reviews, ratings, and all that fun stuff. And we do great on a 10 scale. And we do try to give a meaning to the grade, or a funny meaning, or just something off the cuff, whatever we think of. And I guess this week, Azrael is going to go first and let us know his thoughts and ratings and all that fun stuff. All right.
All right. I think this is one of the best films or movies of the 90s. But I think it's the brand of the movie is kind of often overshadowed by the the death of Brandon Lee during filming. But I think the movie has the right amount of, you know, action, humor, and supernatural elements. I think they did a really good job at, you know, depicting human emotion. You know, it made it really realistic. It's definitely worth watching if you've never seen it. The movie does, I think, appeal to a wider audience, not just someone that's a fan of horror. It's like, you know, kind of like a revenge tale or gothic themed. So I think a lot more people would be open to watching it. But I love it. It's a movie I watch regularly. I'd watch it more than once a year. One of my favorites. So with that, I would give this a 9.1 Crow Eyeball Pecs. 9.1.
All right. Crow Eyeball Pecs.
I'm pretty close with my item that I was going to choose. So I guess I'll have to think of something else. So this movie came out when I was like a toddler, so I didn't actually see it when it came out. I didn't watch it until I was a little bit older. But even then, you know, in the late 90s, it was still in the grunge era. And so this movie really captured the 90s perfectly. No other era at all. Like, it was just very grungy and gothic and definitely an aesthetic, definitely a vibe. The music was fantastic. A lot of the movies that came out in the 90s were kind of cheesy in a sense, but this one was not. The effects were really good. The dialogue, the acting, everything about it is very well done. There's nothing really bad about it that I can say. With that, though, it's not like a masterpiece in my mind. I do feel like it doesn't really make you feel anything. And also, I would say that as somebody with like not necessarily like a seizure disorder, but with sensory issues, this movie is very inaccessible to a lot of people if flashing lights or flashing scenes is triggering for you. So because of that, I couldn't watch a big portion of the movie because a lot of the flashback scenes were all strobing. So because of that, I am going to give it a little bit of a lower rate. I do think that directors need to be a little bit more considerate of people with seizure disorders and kind of keep that in mind when they're making movies and editing them. So I would give it an 8 out of 10 crows. I'm going to keep doing it.
What's a jet every week? And say, hi, Ariel. You mean like, ah!
Yeah, that's how I greet people now. I should have done that in the beginning, in the intro. I didn't think of it. I just tried to do my best Brandon Lee voice, which is terrible. It sounded like Christian Bale.
You kind of sound like Top Dollar. I'll give you that.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. Maybe I'm Top Dollar. Shit.
That's what I thought you were going for, yeah.
Everybody had a deep voice in this movie.
I am very fortunate that I was able to see this movie in the theater when it came out. I don't know. I almost kind of like to brag sometimes when I see some of these really good movies, and I was like, yeah, I was there, you know, that Friday night when it first came out. But I won't brag too much. I do love this movie, and much like Azrael, I do watch it quite often. I mean, I'm not quotable level, even though I can hit some of the quotes in the movie, but I'll get there. I'll be there soon. Really love the music. I have the soundtrack on vinyl, of course. Knowing what happened in the movie, in the news that was surrounded it, you know, it kind of makes me sad of a missed opportunity of a life that we could have seen, because I don't think Brandon Lee was anywhere close to hitting his stride talent-wise in this movie.
He would have been like a Heath Ledger style icon.
Yes.
Like, he was so destined for greatness. Yes. And it was cut way too short.
Yeah, he was definitely getting there. So considering that fact, there's some sadness when I do watch it, but I do watch it to honor him as well. And I'm going to do the same with my review, saying that this is one of the top 10 films for me personally of all, not just horror. And I'm not going to give it a 10, but I will give it a 9.5 Hangman Jokes vinyls out of 10.
Nice.
Hey, can I mention, and I wasn't sure if you were going to go into this, can I mention just some of the parallels between Brandon Lee's passing and the passing of the character that he played?
Sure, yeah. That'd be great.
Okay, so in the film, right, he and his fiance, they're about to get married and they're both murdered. They both die before they can get married. When Brandon Lee was shot and killed on set, and I think this is like one of the first times that's happened in filmmaking history. I don't know if it's the first, but I think it's one of the most iconic ones that people think of. But he actually died a month before him and his fiance were going to get married. And I just thought that was really sad that, you know, you watch this movie and you think that he was only a month away from getting married to his fiance, and he just ends up passing away, kind of similar to the character that he's playing.
Right.
In the movie that he's playing the character. You know, yeah. It's a little eerie of a coincidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to say, too, it is sad that in the movie, like Eric Draven and his fiance are kind of like buried next to each other, and Brandon Lee and Bruce Lee are buried next to each other, and they both died pretty early on in their lives. You know, Bruce Lee, you know, made it to middle age, but just the fact that they're both buried together as well, kind of watching this movie is kind of touching in that regard as well.
Yeah, very much so. I agree. So we were discussing the new Crow movie that is coming out soon, which I don't think how can I say this? I think it's already in a hole before it even gets shown, because this movie was so good. The music was excellent. The new Crow movie is going to have a hard time even trying to be, I don't know, half as good, especially if it's set in modern times. I don't know how much of...
How much of it the original they're going to capture. Yeah. I will say that, like, with remakes, I'm not against remakes at all. I think that sometimes the remakes can be really good. I really worry about this remake. And Aaron, I was telling you a little bit about it earlier, but the music choice that they're going to choose, I'm a little anxious about to see.
Agreed.
And the way that they've already portrayed Eric Draven kind of lends me to think I know which music style they're going to choose. And I just don't know. I feel like this movie is 90s grunge. And if they can't do that, or some sense of like a grunge era of a modern time with Gen Z, it's really going to fail hard. And the remake looks really gory. So I think it's got that going for it. And the stunts seem amazing. So they were able to capture that perfectly. But the fact that, you know, he has like tattoos on his face now. And when he does his makeup, it's not full like white and black makeup. It just kind of looks like he's trying to be the Joker from Suicide Squad. Like, that's kind of what he looks like to me. And I just don't think that's going to translate very well for people who have seen the original. It might do well for somebody who has never seen the original.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that also, since The Crow has been done, there have been other adaptations of a very similar character, this kind of vengeful character who's very gothic looking. And so I just don't know if it's going to look tiresome, you know, as a character.
Yeah. I've seen some stuff online and people joking, saying he looks like the Florida Joker.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He looks like a Florida Joker. That's perfect.
Yeah. Well put.
And I think I even joked earlier too that his fiance is probably going to be an influencer or something. You know.
Well, I think something movies need to get back to you, especially movies like this, is the newer one, not the older one, is if you notice, like a lot of the movies from the 90s, even earlier, they would try to set trends, not just follow what was popular.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of gotten away from that in movies a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about, is that they're not going to try to build a new aesthetic or try to capture the aesthetic of this time. You know, yeah. I don't really know what the aesthetic is of this time period that we're living in now, because it's kind of all over the place. There's so much variety nowadays with culture, and culture moves so quickly, too. That's another thing, is back in the 90s, like, things didn't move as quickly as they do now. You know, like, trends stuck around for a while, for at least a good couple years. Nowadays, it's like trends come and go just as quick as a TikTok is over, you know?
10 seconds, 8 seconds, or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you have any ideas or thoughts about The Crow 1994, or even The New Crow, any thoughts or worries, concerns about the new movie, you can always get a hold of us at storiestodismember@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook in our Stories to Dismember Facebook group. Check us out on Instagram and TikTok. Getting a lot of views on TikTok. It's great. Like to see that. You can also call and leave us a message, or text us at 817-405-4196. We love getting those from you and checking those out. And to continue our monthly theme of resurrection movies / resurrection horror, our next movie is Azrael's pick, and it will be the 2015 movie, The Lazarus Effect. Yeah. I've seen this before. I think you said you've seen it before, Azrael, or Ariel.
Yeah, I think I watched it like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That's my first time watching it, so.
All right.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, first timer. That's always good.
Yeah.
So, don't forget to join us. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I know I was a little rusty, and I might do this a little more often so I can get back in the flow, but it was fun.
You did fine, Aaron.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you did
a great job.
Yes.
And this was your movie to do it, so.
Get to hear me talk for a little bit. All right, well, that's all I got. I'm going to head back to the grave and Take a nap.
Come on!
Fire it up.
Fire it up. Fire it up. All right. See you guys next time. Bye.
All right, later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Stories to Dismember podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends, subscribe, and leave a rating. You can contact us at storiestodismember@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also follow us on TikTok at Stories to Dismember. The music for Stories to Dismember is provided by Windfeather. Can't wait to hang out with you next time. Bye-bye.